Amen. Praise God. What a beautiful time of worship and song. Amen. The message is clear. Jesus is enough. Amen. Jesus is enough. He's our reward. And we want to know him more and more. We want more and more of him. Amen. I have two things that I want to share with you. One was handed to me, and one was a conversation just prior to service beginning. And it's time to praise the Lord. You ready for that? Amen. Amen. Can you do that? Sometimes I so appreciate Brother Craig sharing that we worship and we praise in different ways with hands by our side and quiet and reverently, or hands in the air because we can't keep them down. In either way, it's a praise to the Father to hear wonderful things. You know, we've talked about share the mighty deeds and the mighty works of God. You heard that? We've shared that recently. We have two things. Brother Scott shared with me that he was very, very sick, very sick. This past week, several days of sickness. And we left that conversation, well, praise the Lord that I can see you today. You're here. Praise God. He felt very much that time was closing down at the end of his life. That's how he felt. Brother Ismail shared the same thing with his sister-in-law, that the family was concerned, even that life was coming to an end. Death was close. But she's alive. God has healed. God has provided. So we praise God today. Can you praise God with me today? Give him a big round of applause. Father, we love you and we adore you. Praise you. Thank you. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Sybil absolutely sang the message today. She sang the message that needs to be shared. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus is our all in all. Not only did she sing that, but we were led to share that in our time of worship. Brothers and sisters, pray with me for a moment. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for the mighty deeds, the acts of healing that you have performed, Lord. We give all honor and praise to you for that. And we thank you that you're here with us today. Lord, we invite you to continue here. Pour out your spirit. Let your power and presence be known here today and your word be revealed, that it would put us on a path that is closer and closer to you, and that we would receive more and more of your Son, Jesus, where all things are possible. In his name, and in his name we pray, amen. Thank you, Father. We have been truly looking at the power of invitation. And on the bulletin, you'll see invitation to Jesus as the title of the message. And this has been a beautiful time to just consider all these things. To invite people to church, to invite people to different activities and to events. I think I'm tapping the mic, brothers. I'm sorry. Do I need to lift it up a little bit? We'll try that. To invite people to VBS, to the Super Bowl. And it's been a joy to do that. Looking forward, spaghetti night, movie night, pizza night. I don't know what other kind of night we can come up with, but inviting people to come, what a wonderful thing. It's a blessing, and it's an encouragement for us. It's wonderful. Yes, it's true that those things are good and right, but the aim and the goal is this. The invitation truly is to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I don't want to pull any punches today. I don't want to draw this out a long time because it is quite a simple message. Though it's not easy, the message is simple. Won't you come to Jesus? He is our reward. Christ is enough. He is our all in all. And this thing of invitation, even this invitation to come and work and be a part of ministry, this is beautiful and this is wonderful. But we don't come to Jesus so that we may be involved in all the ministries. We don't come to Jesus so that we can go to the Super Bowl party and spend it with our Jesus friends. But rather we do all of those things so that it enables us, it empowers us, it encourages us, and it gives us the opportunity to meet Jesus and know him more and more. Amen? And then there's more. Come to Jesus. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Come to Jesus. Ask what you will in my name, and I will give it to you. John 14. Come to Jesus. That those that would receive him have the power to become the sons of God, children of God. Come to Jesus. It is true, and it is beautiful, and it is wonderful. We come to Jesus. I have my sticky note. Let me walk around with it. Don't get distracted. Come to Jesus for salvation. Come to Jesus to live forever, for eternal life. We just shared several verses, and there's more. There's one on the front of your bulletin. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus for rest. We read in John 14, come to Jesus for the blessing. We read in John 1, come to Jesus so that you can be his child. Come to Jesus for peace. Come to Jesus for hope. Come to Jesus for forgiveness. Wonderful, beautiful, true and accurate messages. True and accurate words of why we would come to Jesus. But may we always remember, this is not a trick. This is not an opportunity to invite people to the Super Bowl or to the spaghetti feed or to the ministry opportunity, even as we invite the family of God. As you are here sitting, you are connected, you are aware, you know what's going on. It's not an opportunity to invite you to do those things. Come to Jesus so you can work, so you can do, so you can be more. But no, it's come to Jesus so that he is more inside of you. There's a deception that is at work often, and it is this, that Jesus is the means to an end, and I'm borrowing this from a speaker and author, David Pratt. Jesus is the means to an end, and simply that is not true. Jesus is the end. It's Jesus, period. I know that is very simplified, and I'm getting somewhat worked up as I give you a simple message. Yes, I could jump off of this thing just any moment. Because that is the power of the gospel. It's not that you and I get to do all of these wonderful things by the fact that we come to Jesus. It's that when we know him, when we are introduced to him, somebody probably invited you here. And if you're here for the first time and you're wondering, what is this guy raising his voice about? Because I love Jesus and I want you to love him too. And I want you to desire to have more and more of him every day of your life. We don't do the things to try to find Jesus. Where is he? Where is he? No, we find Jesus. He is our reward. He is sufficient. He's enough. In matter of fact, he's more than enough. The scripture says that we come to him and he has life for us and life to the full or more abundant life. Amen. We must not allow ourselves to get into that trap that it's about being busy, it's about doing. And when we go to our friends and neighbors, we've been talking about the relationships that we're already involved with in your homes, in your communities, in your workplaces, and young people at your schools, and little people at your school. Sophie, your school, Sybil, your homeschool even, but you have other groups too, and no, Pastor Lauren warned me about trying to call names. Little Sheffield man. Why can I not remember your name? Spencer. Spencer. I am so sorry. Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I will learn my lesson maybe. But it's every single one. It's not just whenever we go and we invite our friends and our family that we just come to stuff for the purpose of having something to do. I encourage us and I implore you to think about this. Let's get out there. Let's do the invitation. Let's do the inviting. Let's make it a point to say, yes, won't you come to the party? Won't you come to church with us? Won't you come and stay and have lunch? Did anyone do that this week? Anybody say, come to church? Hey, we have a meal after. When we do that, let's not get too wrapped up in, well, if I calculate this right, by the second week, I can say, stay for lunch. The third week, I can have a conversation about where do you work. You see how this could be drawn out too long? We did a little illustration in class this morning. In my wonderful artistic abilities, I drew a house that was on fire. I don't know how many knew it was a house on fire until I actually told them it was a house on fire. And if we go to the principle of let's invite people to the stuff and then eventually we can share Jesus with them, somebody's going to get burned. Amen? We don't have time for that. By God's grace, we might have a little bit of time, but if there's a house on fire, you're going to bang on that door and you're going to say, hey, you know what? Your house is on fire. Get out here with me. We live in a world that's going to burn. I'm not saying go to somebody's house and start scaring them right away. But I want to tell you, 5 years later, and all we've ever accomplished is a Super Bowl party, a plate of spaghetti, and maybe one or two VBS programs. If we haven't said this, won't you come to Jesus? He is the end. He is the thing. He is the one that we need. He is more and more, and we need him more and more. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, brothers and sisters, let's read just a few verses here. And starting in, well, around verse 51, Luke 9, verse 51, we see let's just read a little bit. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. We're talking about Jesus. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. You know, there's a thing with Samaritans, right? And Jesus. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? They said, you're coming into the town. I mean, here's kind of it's kind of a rolling, walking invitation, if you will. I'm here. Would you like a reward? Not just a reward, but the reward. Would you like the King of Kings? Would you like the all in all? And they rejected. They didn't want any part. And the disciples are like, let's toast him and roast him. Let's get rid of him. Let's be gone with them. Call the fire down. Let them be consumed. And Jesus says this in verse 55. He turned and rebuked them and he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. Ooh. That's a rebuke, right? For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Think about that for just a minute as we're talking about inviting people to do and to come and to be with us. Our real invitation, brothers and sisters, is to come to the one that gives them life. Come to the one that will not destroy them. He didn't come to destroy, but he came to save. He came to restore. He came to love, and he came to give life, and life abundant and full and free and wonderful. That is true, but let's look a little bit further at the importance of knowing Jesus and realizing that he is not a means to the end, but he is the end. He is the real deal, the only deal. In verse 57, verse 56 ends by saying, and they went to another village, and we began in verse 57 to read this, and it came to pass
that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus says this, foxes have holes and birds have the air, and birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In this invitation, as Jesus, you know, this walking invitation, Jesus is there, he's in ministry, and he's just beckoning people to himself. And then we have someone that kind of sounds like he's meeting the invitation. But Jesus said, it's almost like this, and I'm going to borrow this again from the same speaker and author, David Pratt. It's like he began to talk them out of it. Come to Jesus. Here's why you shouldn't come. I don't even have a place to call my own. I don't have a home. I don't have a place to lay my head down. Foxes and birds, animals, they got stuff. They got more than I do when it comes to that regard. They've got more than me. Think about that. And then there was a little further on, Jesus says to another, he says these simple words, follow me. Is that an invitation? It's an invitation. He says, follow me. And this fellow says, Lord, suffer first that I would go and bury my father. And you remember these texts. Jesus says unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Wow, this message just took a major turn, didn't it? We're not really hooping and hollering anymore. I'm not feeling like jumping off the stage. I'm feeling like kind of slumping over this pulpit and wondering, oh, wow, what is going on? A little bit more. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another person said this, Lord, I will follow thee. I'll answer the invitation. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why this drastic turn? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is enough. Jesus is our reward. He's our all in all. Worthy is the Lamb. And yet here we want to talk about, I want us to see something real about Jesus. It's not accurate that Jesus would want to discourage someone to say, I really don't want you to follow me. But it is accurate to say this, I'm calling you, I'm inviting you, I'm asking you to follow me. The invitation is there, but let me tell you something. You want to go home to your home and say goodbye to all those that are there. I don't even have a home to lay my head down. To partake of me is more than this life. To know me more is more than the daily grind. It is something beautiful and special and wonderful. It is eternity. I'm not inviting you to come and be busy for busy's sake and play church and be socially active in the groups where it's safe and there's pure things happening. I'm not inviting you to do that for no reason. I want you to be with me so that when you are with me, you are with the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who is worthy of all your praise and all your worship and all your honor and every word that comes from your mouth and every path that your feet may walk on and every work that your hands may do. When you come to me and answer the call, the invitation to be with me, you have really got something. Luke 14, Do we know what the invitation is? Do we know what the invitation could possibly be for those? We go to that door, you go up that sidewalk, and you knock on that door, and you come to church with me. And it'll mean nothing if it's a social club visit. It'll mean nothing. But if it's real and we're really inviting people to Jesus, listen to what verse 26 of Luke 14 says. Jesus is saying this: if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot follow me. He cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. The words of our Savior, the words of the Messiah, Christ, who is enough, our all in all. He said, if you don't hate father and mother and brethren and sisters and even your own life, you can't follow me. What does that mean? Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot follow me. Cannot be my disciple. I know that's an old King James thing, to take up your cross. It simply means this, Daniel, that you give up your will. You don't get to choose anymore. When you say, Jesus, I will follow you, and he says, okay, but you don't have time to go tell any goodbye. You don't have the opportunity to go bury your father. You don't have the opportunity to know if you're going to lay down on a bed tonight with a pillow. Jesus is saying this: follow me. The invitation is not to come to play. It's not to come to just be a part of an opportunity where there is purity and justice and righteousness and holiness. And boy, doesn't that sound good? Guess what? It's going to be there too, but that's not the point. That's not the end. That's the things. Praise God. We don't get to choose. To take up our cross is to deliver our own will into his hands. It's not up to me, Craig. It's not up to me, Pastor Lorne. It's not up to me, Wyatt. It's God's way or it's not going to happen. Jesus, in his own words, said, if we don't hate father, brother, sister, mother, and my own life, and I don't take up my cross or I don't give up my will, then you cannot follow me. You can write down on the card and say, contact me by email, contact me by text. Make sure and stop by sometime. But unless you give your life and the will, the choices that you have control of, you surrender them, then you cannot follow Jesus. And this idea of hating, and I know it rears up something pretty emotional in my heart and mind. I love my family. I bet you do too. I love my parents. I love my grandparents. I love my children. I love my aunts and uncles. I love all of you. And this idea of hate, Jesus, and how it's translated in the King James, if we don't hate them, those that I love, I'm going to borrow something else again, and it just is this: the measure of love and devotion and commitment and honor that I want to present to Christ causes all other loves to look like hate. You follow me? I love this woman, and I tell her as much as I can. I don't show it as much as I need to, but I love her, and I hope you know that I love her. I hope that's clear. But as much as I love her, and as much as she knows, and as much as my children sometimes realize that she and I do for one another, and our love is great, that measure of love looks like hate. Hate for our love for Christ. And when that is true, and when that takes place, Alex, that's when we not only can, but we are following Jesus. We're answering the call. We're hearing the invitation, and we're stepping up to it. Amen? Why? It's been sung. Because Christ is enough. He is our all in all. Recently, we've heard messages of men and women who knew, who had that love for Jesus, who had that relationship. And it caused them to say things like Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. It caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say things like this: even if we burn up in the fire, I'm not bowing down, because that's not God's will, and my will doesn't matter anymore, because I took up my cross and I'm following Jesus. Amen. That's why Proverbs 8 is a messianic writing in Proverbs. And you could read more, but I just want to read two verses in closing. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. Two verses in closing in Proverbs chapter 8. Believing this to be a direct reference to the Messiah, Jesus, our Savior. Verse 35 in Proverbs 8 says, "For whoso findeth me, findeth what? Life. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death." When we take to the streets, are you going to take to the streets? When we knock on the door, are you going to knock on the door? When we see our brother or sister who is here and we may not even know their name yet, are we going to say, "Won't you come and join us for a meal? And tomorrow we're going to do this, or next week we're going to have this opportunity." Praise God, do it. Make the invitation. But please, 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 we have to bridge the distance between that invitation and the words from our heart that say this: "Won't you come to Jesus?" Amen.